You're listening to The World's Talking with Dave O'Grady. Don't forget, if you have a story, an internet forum, a discussion you want to have, email theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to click like on Facebook, like on Twitter, like on everything, and we'll chat to you then. Yes, you're very welcome along to Talking Rugby with Dave O'Grady. This is episode 12 of our podcast. I don't know how we got to 12, but we did. It's big game time. Probably the biggest sporting rivalry in Ireland has come about. Leinster versus Munster at the Avivius Stadium, where over 45,000 fans are expected, I think. They confirmed today 45,000 tickets have been sold, so it's going to be an exciting one. In the red corner, we have Alan in Limerick. He's known as, from boards.ie, Tomond 2006. How original, Alan. What's the crack?
Excited.
Good man. And we also have Tig representing the red corner, who's Chupacabra. Love the name, Tig.
Thank you. Ihoa, Conas a Tortu, Dave.
Good man yourself. I'm well too, yeah. In the blue corner, we've got Kieran, who's known as GRM on boards. And Kieran's making his debut on Talking Rugby tonight. How are you, Kieran?
I'm very well. Very nice to be here, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Now, Kieran, I heard a little story about yourself taking a trip to Limerick and wanting to get out as soon as possible. Is that not a bit stereotypical there, Kieran?
It wasn't so much getting out as soon as possible. It was getting out alive was the main aim, really. And once I did that, it was mission accomplished, you know. So I think I did the return journey in about an hour and 30 minutes, but it was well worth it.
What was it? Was it a business trip or a casual trip or a mixture of both?
It was a business trip. There was nothing casual about it or nothing pleasurable about it.
Oh, well, how about that?
Geez.
Oh, yeah, that's what you get. Peter, all the way in Canada. Peter, you're back on the show this week. We missed you last week, but you're back there in Canada sitting down. It must be morning time.
No, Dave, it's you're still not getting the times right. No. It's evening time here.
Okay, I'm used to talking to a couple of people in Australia on these type of shows, so sometimes it can be all over the place, but it's great to have you again. Now, lads, let's get down to business. Leinster versus Munster Friday. It's a big game. Alan, a lot of people are critical of the Leinster side. Maybe the management are playing a bit of mind games. Brian O'Driscoll, he is available for selection. That's all they're giving us. We don't know if he's going to start this game. Surely there'll be a big intensity, especially with the big crowd there. No matter, even if it is just a league game, there's always that fieriness between the two sides.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a very big game. Both sides, yeah, they're going to up the intensity and... Yeah, really looking forward to it now. It's going to be my first time in the Aviva, so I'm going to shout my head off and hope that the Muck Savages beat the Old Ladies.
First time in the Aviva, Alan, would that be suggesting that Munster haven't really had the big games up in Dublin too much?
Well, I think they only played there once, actually, last year against the Ladies, so that's the only time, really.
Yeah. And how do you see the game going?
Yeah, I'd love to be very positive, but I am a bit worried. I suppose really a few things. Our back row isn't really as formidable as years gone by, and that was kind of always our key for us. I mean, Wallace is just such a big loss. He's an absolute talisman. But I suppose we have Peter O'Mahony, or as I like to call him on boards, David Wallace 2.0. So hopefully he'll step up to the plate.
Yeah.
And our back play is pretty rubbish as well, but... I don't know, I don't want to be too depressing at the start.
That's a dreadful defeatist attitude from a Munster fan, mind you. Like, that's what you get from Tomond 2006. He's got full of confidence for this Munster side. Kieran, welcome to the show. What do you think about Munster's chances? I know you're a strong Leinster supporter, but summing up Munster's chances in this game, Alan doesn't seem too optimistic. Would you be a bit optimistic, or is he playing mind games and trying to talk the team down so that if Munster win, he'll be all guns blazing?
There's always some level of pessimism, you know, by the Munster fans when they're coming up to Dublin. They always try to play a smart game, but to be honest, I think he's fairly close to the nail on the head. Discipline is going to be a serious issue for them this time. You know, they've spent more time at the bottom of the Fair Play League than they have at the top of the actual league in recent times. So it's going to be a major issue for them. It's something Leinster are going to be very much aware of. So I think they're going to try and focus on that, and they're going to try and pick on players like O'Mahony. I think he's a great player, has a lot of potential, but he's a bit of a loose cannon at the moment. I think he's a short fuse, and they're going to focus on that kind of thing and try and build a penalty count through that. So in that respect, I think Leinster can definitely build a score, and get their noses in front. And from that position, I think it's Leinster's game.
Yeah, that's fairly optimistic. If I can bring in Tadhg on this, Tadhg, the Brian O'Driscoll thing, what's the feelings toward Brian O'Driscoll down in Kerry? I mean, he's obviously a well-known for Ireland and Leinster, but do you think he's a real, true Irish warrior, or is he a big girl's blouse, as some Munster fans have referred to him as?
Big girl's blouse? I've never heard that, no, Dave. But I think we're just coming off the back of a World Cup. And it's very hard to gauge how either side are going to perform, because they've only really had one game together with all the internationals back in there. So it'll be, I have no idea how it's going to go. I hope Munster can win it, because nothing kills me more to see Leinster doing well.
Really?
And
why is that?
Well, doing well against Munster.
Yeah. You know? Would you not support your fellow Irish province in this game?
Oh God,
Dave, no. I'm from Munster. Like, you're asking me to support Leinster.
Well, I mean, Alan has been the most pessimistic thing towards. You've been so pessimistic, Alan, towards Munster's chances in this game. Well, is that not a bit far fetched? You know, we've seen what happened in Thomond Park in the league last year. I mean, Munster upped their game. Why can't they do it again?
Well, I'm pessimistic, but I'm not blaspheming like you are.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Look, I mean, as Tadhg said, it's so hard to call, because there really is no form book going into it. I mean, Munster played last week against Aeroni, but it was in Hurricane Musgrave Park, so it really doesn't matter so much. And of course, Leinster played last week at Edinburgh. Yeah, it was a decent win, but they didn't have all their players back, and their defence was pretty shocking. You know, Rob Kearney being a sort of a speed bump. They go on about O'Gara, yeah. But O'Kearney isn't that much better, to be honest.
Yeah, Peter in Canada, that's a good point Alan makes. I mean, neither team are firing on all cylinders, and there's not much form we can actually take into account for this game. But surely, as a Leinster fan, you're looking to bring a bit of that Heineken Cup form all the way into this first league match.
Ah, yeah, but let's be honest here. If you look at on paper, if Leinster go out and play and they want to win, they'll win this easily. That's simply the way it is. Munster are, unfortunately for Munster, with the fact that they've just become such a retirement home, they can't live with Leinster when Leinster play at their peak and play at their best.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Tadhg. Would you agree with that one?
Yeah, I'd agree fully, but I mean, we can't avoid the obvious here in saying that Leinster's recent success, I mean, come on. You have a Kerry man at 10, lads. You have someone who's practically a Munster man at 7. You know, myself and Alan were saying maybe Leinster's recent success is more down to our muck savage input more than anything. So.
Well, let me in there for a sec there, Dave. I mean, Leinster, they're just plucking all the muck savages, you know, by all the D4 lads plucking them.
Yeah.
And it's an absolute disgrace. No, no, I mean, Sean O'Brien should be a Munster man. He's a proper farmer man like John Hayes.
Oh, well, hang on a second. Kieran, I want to put this to you. Is that not a bit ridiculous by Alan to go in and say that?
That is completely ridiculous.
Because
you know?
for the point that everybody's arguing and criticising Munster because they are not bringing through the younger players as well as Leinster have been. And a lot of Munster fans, Alan, will say that. So that's a fair point. But Kieran, what would you go for there? Like, I mean, that's a bit bizarre, isn't it? Muck savages, Sean O'Brien.
If Sean O'Brien is absolute Leinster to the core, you know, there's no man better for supporting his own province. He's Leinster born and bred. I mean, if you want to go for players that are from Leinster and now playing down in Munster, you look at somebody like Niall Ronan, that was a hero.
Yeah, but
Niall Ronan isn't
in the team, though. Niall Ronan abandoned his home province as a Munster wannabe. So.
Well, come on now. Peter, how about that? Abandoned his home province as a Munster wannabe. What do you reckon?
This, I'll tell you, it's a really scrape in the bottom of the barrel. Now Munster are trying to claim anyone who's actually born outside the pale should actually play for Munster. They've no youth
system
of their own, so they're just going to claim the rest of Ireland. No, yeah, it's just a case of, you know what, that's Munster. Maybe if you actually started developing players then you wouldn't have to look up at us in Leinster and willfully just wish that you had the players we had.
Right, yeah, right. Sorry, Kieran. I want to put that to Tig. Would you agree with that? And what about the point that, you know, Tig, every Leinster fan hates when you say that Leinster kind of a Dublin team, while Munster are kind of they're more true provincial in some way. They're, you know, an island of Ireland team, and many fans in a lot of provinces would have Munster as their number one and certainly not Leinster. They seem Leinster as a certain, do I dare say it, side of society.
Hey. I'll put it this way. Two of Leinster's most important players in the last Heineken Cup campaign were Mike Ross and Owen Redden. I respect.
Well said, sir.
Would you go along with that, Kieran?
I think they were important players, but, you know, Leinster brought out their best down their own province. You know, Munster couldn't actually work with them, couldn't develop them, and they had to leave, come up to Leinster. And now they're the players, we made them the players that they are today.
Go on, Alan.
Like, in fairness now, Mike Ross, I mean, John Hayes is just a legend, so how can anyone like Mike Ross...
How could you turn down Mike Ross and send him away with your propping province?
Because Hayes is a legend!
Hayes is a geriatric.
Hang on a second there, Kieran. You're saying about, you know, Hayes, fair, he's a legend of Munster, he's a legend of Irish rugby. But is the point, Alan, that they're holding on to Hayes for just a little too long, maybe?
Oh no, that, of course.
Well, there you go.
It is an issue down in Munster, certainly, that we have, the prop situation is ridiculous because we have two Springboks. Dupria is all right. He's done nothing special. Botha, a tight end when he's played, has been absolutely brilliant, and he looks like a super signing. He is a bit injury prone, so we need to keep him fit. And then after that, on the bench, we've Horan, who's 34, and Hayes, who's 38 today. Happy birthday, John.
Happy birthday, John. Yeah.
It is sad. There's a few fellas like going around the AIL that are doing really well, but they're not getting a look in, and Munster, they're just not backing the academy players. I mean, you see Stephen Archer there, a tight head who has, you know, he looks okay, and I think with a bit of game time he might get better. But McGann is just backing Hayes, and Hayes is a legend. Like, I absolutely love the fella. I mean, he's an absolute just talisman of Irish rugby for the last 10 years. But
Peter, what do you think about Hayes? I mean, a Leinster fan.
Hayes, yeah, he's a good servant to the rugby. He's always put it up. He's always gone out there and given it all. But as players go, he's probably not the greatest. I think Ross definitely shouldn't have been chucked out of Munster. For me, Hayes, he's a good provincial player, but was never really up there international standard. And he should definitely be put out to pasture by now.
Yeah, Tig, what do you think about this contract extension? Are they right to do it?
Well, at his age, you know, he's 38 now, and it's a central contract, is it?
No, it's just a provincial. It's just a...
Oh, right. Yeah. Even then, you know, 38 years of age, it's the fact that he's in there and he's keeping younger players, not necessarily better players, but younger players out of the squad. And it just takes an opportunity away from some of the players who have been there and have been putting in the work at academy level and A level. And so I think, certainly for the benefit of Munster rugby, he probably should have looked at retiring after the Grand Slam win in 2009. But I don't know. I mean, he'll always be a legend down in Munster.
There we go. Legend. I love the way when we get a nice little input like that into talking rugby. Kieran, you fiery man. I want to bring you in on this one, right? We've had a text in from Pedro. He makes the point that it's just been, you know, swings and roundabouts. Munster provided 70% of the Irish team from 1999 to 2007, and it's Leinster's turn to bring some through. Is it fair to say that Leinster will have more input in the Irish team for the next, foreseeable future?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at Leinster at the moment, it's the youth structures coming through. That it's not just the foreseeable future, it could be beyond that. If you look at the under-20 teams, the youth teams coming through at the moment, they're dominated by Leinster players. There's more Connacht players on those teams than there are Munster players. And Munster continue to give their elder statesmen, such as O'Callaghan, such as O'Gara, another 2-year contract extension, 3-year contract extension. I mean, to give somebody like O'Callaghan 3 years is just beggar's belief. You know, the guy can't even get it back into the Munster side at this stage. You know, and his party trick is going missing for 80 minutes.
How about that, Alan? It's beggar's belief giving him another contract.
Dunners, yeah. I wouldn't have given him 3 years. I think maybe 2 years he might, I think, would have been fair enough. 3 years is a bit of a stretch because we have a young fella called Nagel who looks a serious prospect at lock, but he hasn't got a game all year, hasn't had a look in all year because, you know, Mick O'Driscoll has been around, and like, I'm a big Mick O'Driscoll fan. He has been absolutely brilliant for us, like such a solid player at, you know, Magner's level, but it's time maybe that he's put out the pasture and Nagel has given a few games. But it is a problem. Like, we just need to back the youngsters a bit more. I suppose at for the O'Gara thing, I mean, there's really not much coming through at 10. We have Keatley there, and Keatley's been a bit mixed. So I think, yeah, O'Gara's still a great player, and I'd have no problem with O'Gara being given 2 years, to be honest.
Yeah, Peter, what do you think about that? I mean, O'Gara, do you think the Munster fans hold him as a kind of untouchable at this stage? Is it a bit, you know, the fact is Leinster have, a lot of people are saying Leinster have owned Ulster or Munster over the past two seasons, which doesn't go down well down the red side of the country, but is it Munster's own downfall that they haven't put the resources or energy behind the younger players? I know Alan's talking about the AIL and all that kind of crack, but do you think they're masters of their own destiny and it's not working out for them?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, all right, for Munster. They haven't invested in youth. Well, it's more a case they haven't given youth a chance. But I suppose when you look at the players they've had, it's kind of similar to Leinster with where Leinster are going. You know, Leinster have a core group of players there. It's going to be very hard when they reach 28, 29 and 30 to start pushing them out and bringing younger players. So I suppose that's in a way that's how sport goes, and especially with rugby. It's not like soccer where you sell players and buy players. It's going to be. It is a case if it just swings like that, you get a core group of players. We've seen it with Ireland, and I think Munster are hitting that point where they're going to have to just rebuild. And I think with regards Rog, he deserves his extension because there's nobody there to pretty much come in. And O'Callaghan, I think, is actually a great squad player, so he deserves his contract because whenever you hear anybody talk about the Ireland setup or Munster setup, they always talk about Dunnick O'Callaghan said this, did this, or, you know, he played this practical joke. So I think O'Callaghan will be there as the clown either way, even if he's not playing.
Yeah, okay. What about that? What would you go along with that one, Tyke?
Well, I think it's actually one of the biggest problems that Irish rugby faces at the moment. You know, we have that so-called golden generation that kind of started in the early 2000s, and they're all in their early to mid-30s at the moment. And like I said earlier on with John
but,
Hayes...
But Tyke, is it a Munster problem in the sense that we've seen, if you look at the underage Irish teams, we see a lot of Leinster and Ulster players in them. Where's the Munster?
Well, the underage, that has nothing to do with the fact that there are older players in the squad keeping... academy players and the like out. I don't know why there are so little Munster players. I'd say that's probably just a quality issue.
Yeah.
But as hard as that is for me to say.
Yeah, but, yeah. Kieran, you'd probably agree with him there. You'd agree.
I do, absolutely.
You probably think you'd probably like this kind of trend to continue at underage.
I wouldn't be against it. You know, I think there's a lot that Munster need to look at how they run their underage. I think at the moment, although I'm open to correction on this, that there's actually no director in place of the Munster Academy at the moment.
No, there isn't actually.
That's a huge oversight. How can they operate an academy without that?
It's ridiculous, really. I agree with you there, absolutely.
Okay, I want to just a final point about the match before I bring something in about the differences between Leinster and Munster fans, which will be an interesting one in itself. But Peter, this match, you're saying, you know, you reckon Leinster are gonna have their way, but do you think the Munster boys will be able to rise for this? They have done in the league in the past. I mean, is, you know, you read a lot what, say, Bernard Jackman says, you know, about match days. Do you think maybe Leinster are more for the big days and this could be Munster's scalp?
No, I don't. I don't think so at all. I think that I think Munster will. They'll raise their game. There's nobody's going to go into this game playing at 80 or 90%. They're all going to give it their all. It just for me with both teams at the moment and where they are, I just can't see what sort of game Munster can play tactically that Leinster won't be able to overcome. Because for me, Leinster hold all the aces. They're just the only place where I see Munster probably are better is in the second row, but that's not going to change the game. And so for me, I just can't see Munster winning this.
Yeah, Alan, Peter says Munster have the chance in the second row or that. Would you go along with that? Do you think Munster could win this? I know you're pretty pessimistic about Munster going into this match, but I think a fair point that was made a few times was Munster would trade a loss against Leinster for, say, a win in the Heineken Cup.
Well, if you ask me, would I trade a Leinster loss for a win against Northampton? I suppose I'd have to, really. I'd actually have to, although I hate
it's
saying
that. It's a tough
one. It is, that is a tough one, yeah. At the end of the day, and I'm probably going to come across as a cute whore saying it, but at the end of the day, the Heineken Cup is priority. If we lose this game, it is not the end of the world. If we lose against Northampton, it is the end of the world. But will I be disappointed if we lose against Leinster? I'll be just depressed. It's just, it'd be like Liverpool losing to Everton. It's just, it might only be 3 points lost, but the game is a game in itself. And Munster, you were asking me about where Munster might win. I think we're going to target them the scrum.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people on board saying Healy mightn't be a great scrummager. Now, to be honest, I know little about scrums, so I'm not going to start talking about scrums. But I think Botha, if he really produces, he could be an absolute wrecking ball for us. And that's possibly where we might have an edge. At line-out, yeah, I suppose if Varley stays fit, I mean, if Fogarty comes on, we're doomed. If Fogarty comes on, I'm leaving the stadium, to be honest. He can't throw to save his life. Sorry, Dennis. Sorry.
No
offense, but his throwing is very, very weak.
We get those very difficult, it's kind of to the sword comments from you, Alan, about players.
I don't want to criticize my own players, but his throwing has been bad for a while, and he hasn't really done anything about it. And we have Sean Henry coming through, and he isn't getting a game. Unfortunately, Mike Sherry is injured, and he looked like he was first choice at the start of the season. So if Vardy stays fit and okay, we'll probably be okay at line-out. And then I think Murray is such a key to us because he's a very Mike Phillips type of player. He likes to run at the first defender and try and make space. Now, whether the problem with that is Raj doesn't really have the pace, so if he puts Raj in space, it really won't hurt Leinster that much. Mm. I think the imponderable really is Chambers, because against Irony, he just looked to have a few touches about him. Now, that's probably clutching at straws, but I think if we can get Earls and Murphy and Dougie running off him, then maybe we might cut them open. And again, another thing is, how fit is Darcy if he plays? How fit is O'Driscoll if he plays? There's a lot of Leinster players coming back in that won't have played a game for a few weeks. That, it's a different intensity behind the World Cup to this game. While this game is, it will be an intense game, but it is different. And will these guys be up to it? Like, will they be tuned in with the rest of their teammates that have been playing in the Pro 12? I have a few quid on Munster. I think Leinster will win, but okay. I'm looking for a big Munster performance, because really we've won a few games this year with the second team, but we really haven't played that well, to be honest. And I hope that will lift it.
Okay, Tyke, as the cute whore was mentioning, he's hoping kind of for the best. And one of these matches, a lot of times it excites fans, the whole Sexton versus O'Gara battle and all. Does that also sum up the Leinster Munster fans in a way? All the Leinster fans seem to be, would love to jump into bed with Johnny Sexton, and the Munster fans, it's almost like Ronan O'Gara is untouchable to Munster fans. What do you think, Tyke?
Oh, Dave, why would you do this to me?
Come on, I know we've been a bit blue because you're down from Kerry and you've been treading on thin ice and walking a fine line a few times.
Sexton is a Kerry man. Do you have to remember that? Sexton is a Kerry man. You know, he was spent a lot of his young life in the shoal, hitting balls in the golf course. So I think deep down maybe he has a little bit of a romantic love for Munster. But I mean, you just have to look at the. I think it was the Heineken Cup in 2009 when Munster played Leinster in Croke Park. When
he got all up in Ronan O'Gara's
face. When Gordon Darcy scored that try and Sexton just ran in and roared the head off O'Gara. To me, a lot of fans would have watched that and thought, you know, this is the future rivalry for Ireland. And I think a lot of the less educated fans would latch on to the O'Gara-Sexton rivalry more than the knowledgeable fans. I would consider myself a knowledgeable fan, and I think, you know, I think O'Gara's great. I think it's fantastic. But I also think Sexton is a fantastic player as well. So the whole Munster-Leinster rivalry thing, yeah, it ultimately comes down to Sexton and O'Gara either way, which is unfortunate, but it's unavoidable, really.
And who do you think is better, Tadhg?
I think Ian Humphries is better.
Okay. Okay. If Tadhg obviously.
You've totally sat on the fence there.
He's got the splinters up his backside. Kieran, do you think there's, you know, with Ronan O'Gara for Munster, he's a little bit untouchable by the Munster fans, and you're not one of these less educated people that Tadhg was talking about?
I would hope not, but I think Rog is definitely put on a pedestal a lot by a lot of less educated Munster fans, so to use Tadhg's phrase there. But, I mean, whatever about the subplot between Rog and Sexton, you know, that's going to be secondary. The game isn't going to be won there. You know, this game, as with most, is going to be won in where Alan was talking about earlier. It's going to be won in the set piece, the scrum, the line-out, the breakdown. That's your three places there. The game is going to be won and lost. And that's the three areas that I think Leinster will have a slight edge. I don't think it's going to be a significant one, but it's going to be enough to squeeze past. I know a lot of people are thinking that Leinster will have a significant edge in the scrum. I don't think that's going to be the case at all. I think Botha will have more of an edge over Healy than Ross will have over Wayne Dupreez. And the lineouts, I think, are going to break relatively even due to Varley's throws. But the breakdown, I don't think Munster are going to be able to live with this. And that's where the game's going to be won and lost. And then it's going to come down to the kicking between the two lads. And I think Sexton's got his mojo back working since the World Cup. He looked good last week, you know, 7 from 9 in Edinburgh. Yeah. He was moving the ball well, and, you know, I think he's going to come up trumps in that respect.
Yeah. Peter, as Kieran was saying, Sexton's got his mojo back. You might only hear words like that from a Leinster fan. But sorry, Kieran. Peter, this whole rivalry between the fans, Leinster versus Munster, and how do you describe it? It's good banter all the same, but is there a different type of following between each set of supporters?
Yeah, Leinster fans are more civilised, and Munster fans, by their nature, from where they are from, they're a bit more weather-beaten. And
is that like, an age-old, like, right? Like, is that not an age-old, like, you're saying, a better upbringing? Or
no, I'm just joking there. No, it's a small island. There's not much difference between the fans. There's slagging between the knowledgeable fans, and then it goes overboard between some elements of both sides. But I don't think there's much of a difference between the fans at all.
Okay, you've sat up.
Except for weaving money in Leinster.
Yeah, you've sat on a bit of a fence there, Peter. You're lucky, I guess, you're in Canada. Alan, can I make a point about the fans? A lot of people, this is, it's an age-old generalisation, but we like that on Talking Rugby. People say rugby in Munster is a game that's played and supported by, say, a lot of, say, working class. It's a real working class sport, whereas in Leinster for years it had been the more upper class, and that might be true. Do you think it's still like that?
No, I think there's a lot of L4, as I can call them, in going to Thomond. There's a lot of posh Limerick people. Yeah, shockingly they exist, but they, you know, they, I don't. Yeah, I think that's. I really don't think that's a right. You know, working class, and then all the, well, you know, D4 Leinster, obviously, but that's a different thing. But,
what do you think about that, though, Alan?
About what?
You just mentioned D4 Leinster. What is that? But, you know, get your perspective.
It's the guys that go into Starbucks and, like, talk about their clothes and stuff.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Cafe on Seine and, you know.
Is there many Leinster fans, Alan, do you think, that are made up of that kind of thing?
Well, I don't know, but, you know, some stereotypes are right. That's all I'm saying.
You brought it up, Alan. Do you think that, like, it is definitely, are you saying that Leinster fans are like that? Or, I mean, where did this come out of?
I don't know, to be honest, but I suppose I'm going up to the game on Friday, so I'll report back on that.
Yeah. What about, do you think about that Tig, former fellow Munster man? He's mentioning D4, he's slapping a barcode on a label on Leinster fans like that. Would you go along with that, Tig?
Well, myself and others are actually meeting before the game. We're probably going to meet in Bowes Bridge somewhere, and we're going to go to Starbucks and have a mocha or a skinny latte. I know Alan, he's watching his figure a bit, so it's a skinny latte for Alan. And we're actually going to go to head to the game together, sitting together, not on each other's lap, as many people out there might imagine. But I think that stereotype is very prudent. I think it's very. It's a very real thing, you know. You walk up towards D'Aviva and you're surrounded by the D4 ladyboys. It's unavoidable. They're just there. And down in Kerry, I mean, I can't read. I'm from Kerry. But I've heard people who can read talking about, like, Ross O'Carroll Kelly. I'm like, oh my God, have you done the thing? And I think it's very true. I think it's very true.
Yeah, it sounds like Tig's reading off a little bit of a script there, and I didn't think Kerry men could.
Excuse me.
Type of language. Peter, what's your reaction to that? Was that a good impression? Is that a Leinster fan talking there?
No. That's a Munster fan wanting to be a Leinster fan, but no, we're far more educated than that.
How can you say that to Tig? That is just sorry now, but.
Come on, he's stuck in Kerry with pigs. He's a pig farmer in Kerry.
No, there's no pigs down here. It's all sheep down here now. Didn't you listen to the podcast last week?
I'll just add that John Hayes is a legend, okay?
Okay. Kieran, defend Leinster fans, please.
Look, in both respects, there's no smoke without fire, you know, but that was the truth once upon a time. But very much a different case now these days. As Alan said, there's definitely a C4 and an L4 element down in Thomond and down in Musgrave these days. And if you're ever brave enough to come into the RDS, lads, you'll see there's a lot more now than just the typical D4 heads around.
Yeah, well, that's a fair point. What is, Alan, you started this, right? What is exactly a D4 and L4? Is it a certain place where they live, or where did they get that name?
Well, it's the postcode in Dublin, and it's the stereotype. And, like, you know, I suppose we like to poke fun at stereotypes, whether they're true or not. They're a talking point, I suppose.
Yeah, you're one cute hooer, Alan. That was Alan there bringing that up. Lads, let's get back down to business. I want to get a prediction, a score prediction. It can be a rough one off each of you. Kieran, how do you see the game going?
I'm thinking we're looking at a scoreline of about 21-9 to Leinster. Maybe get one try and Roger will kick a few points, but Leinster will pull away. The extra quality it'll tell in the end and will wear Munster down. I don't think Munster have the depth there to compete over 80 minutes. People like Botha, they're not 80-minute players. They'll fade as time goes on. Leinster will empty the bench. They have a big pack on the bench. They'll come on and blow them away in the last 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, beat that, Tig. What do you think?
I'd say it'll be fairly close. It'll be about 120 to Munster to 3 to Leinster.
No,
I'm joking. It will be close. It wouldn't surprise me if it's single digits, to be honest. I don't know how the weather's going to be this weekend, but it's not looking good at the moment. So I'd say it'll be something around 9-6, 9-3 to Munster.
I thought that was something out of Father Ted. We'll beat you by a million points. Well, obviously the million points was a bit of an exaggeration. Peter, how do you see this game going? Again, one of them says Leinster, the other says Munster. Are you going to sit on the fence or are you going to get up off that Canadian bar stool?
I think Leinster's back row will win this for them easily. It'll be 23-6.
Alan, you're... Give me some Munster optimism.
John Hayes in the corner, 79th minute. Munster 5, Leinster 0.
The corner of the stand, isn't it?
It sounds like you're...
Because he is a legend.
Scotland there. It's like one player that's playing for Scotland that you actually like. good man.
No, we're not Richie Gray and 14 Donkeys. We're not. We're better than that, hopefully.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about Connacht v Ulster, and I'm going to start with Tadhg. Ulster, I guess, have been quite awful, really. But Connacht never seemed to go to Ravenhill and win. Do you see this being a much of a case of same again, lads?
Well, if you look at the Connacht's last game against the Cardiff Blues, they hit the mother of all self-destruct buttons. You know, and it's kind of typical of the Connacht that people come to expect over the last few years. So I don't really know what kind of mindset they'll be going into this game with. And as well as that, you have to consider the fact that Ulster are bringing a lot of their international players back. You know, Pienaar's coming back and Afoa's coming back. And Afoa especially, he'll be chomping at the bit to get game time, you know, and Pienaar, because they both didn't really play for their countries during the World Cup. So I think, you know... Ulster have been awful. They've been pretty terrible. But with their internationals coming back, I think they'll just be too much for Connacht.
Yeah, Kieran, do you think that Connacht have a chance in this game? Obviously, if the likes of Ferris and all is available for Ulster, it could signal something different. What do you make?
I'd love to say the Connacht would be able to put it up to Ulster, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, if you look at that game last weekend... That was a game where Connacht really had an opportunity to put down America and show that they've moved on and become a better side over the last year. And to go from 17-6 at halftime and blow that with just some really elementary mistakes. I mean, you're looking for leadership from that kind of point. And of all people, John Muldoon trying to kick the ball 5 metres from his own line. You know, what was he thinking, you know?
Kieran, do you see this game as being whoever, you know, a game full of mistakes? We see every team, every match that seems to be played at Red. This might be a bit unfair, and hopefully we'll get a couple of Ulster fans on the show in a few weeks, and, you know, they'll be able to defend themselves. But is it almost like every match that gets played in Ravenhill is just full of mistakes from both sides?
A little bit. If you're looking at the recent game, I think it was the last home game, I think it was Treviso they had. I mean, it was absolute poison to watch, in all fairness, you know, and I can see this one being a very error-strewn game again. I don't think either side are actually in the correct frame of mind at the moment. I think they're both very low on confidence. And if you saw the tries that Ulster conceded against the Scarlets there, they were just in disarray. Nobody putting their hands up, nobody taking responsibility in situations. So I can see this game taking a similar kind of pattern and just, you know, the less crap team will win.
Okay, well, I'll just finally go to you on this match, Peter, because I don't want to go to Tadhg, because we'd probably get a Kerry man doing an Ulster accent if we did. Peter, how do you see this one going? It's going to be, as Kieran was saying, Kieran's very critical, though. I mean, is there anything positive we can take out of this?
It's going to be an absolute cracker, Dave. It's going to be the
good
game
man.
So it's absolutely brilliant. Ulster should win this. Connacht hit the self-destruct button away at Ravenhill. Not a hope in hell. I wouldn't give them a chance anyway. They're not good enough either on their day to beat Ulster.
Yeah, that's we'll have to wait and see what happens there. I guess, Alan, what do you think of the signing of Treblanche? Was it necessary? What's really, do you know the motives behind that? I mean, I know we were giving Munster a little bit of stick earlier for their old players and new contracts, etc., but this is a signing of a 36-year-old for 3 months. Ulster probably have enough cover at fullback.
Yeah, it's a strange one because Payne, obviously, yeah, he gets injured, but and he's their first choice, but they have enough cover at fullback for me. You know, Adam Darcy, they signed him last season. He's a natural 15. Danielli can play there. He played there last week. I would favour, I suppose, Darcy or Danielli playing at 15 so that Craig Gilroy can start in the wing and stay on the wing and gain experience, because he's got some skills about him. He's got a real flair about him, and he's definitely a potential Irish international. Maybe not this season, but certainly in 2 or 3 years. And, you know, Paddy Wallace, he could play at fullback in an emergency as well, so... I really don't see the point in signing Treblanche. he is a really, really experienced player. I mean, he's been around the block a long time, but signing a 36-year-old for 3 months who is going to retire otherwise, I think it's ridiculous, to be honest.
Tig, is that not a little bit harsh on Treblanche there by Alan?
I think it's very harsh. I mean, I have been a Sharks fan since I was very young. And in fairness, Ulster are, they're becoming the Irish Saracens, you know, with all the South Africans coming in. But I'm a huge fan of Treblanche. I think he's one of the great unsung heroes of South African rugby.
Well, no, and, it's like, sorry there. It's more kind of, what's the point of signing him? I mean, I'm not criticising the guy himself.
Let me finish, Alan. I think Ulster, they're really light at 15, you know, so it makes sense to bring someone in. I don't think when you're coming up to Heineken Cup games, you know, bringing someone in from the academy, it's just not smart. They tried it with Jamie Smith a couple of years ago, and that didn't work out. So it just makes sense for them to bring in someone. And I'm delighted to see Treblanche up there, you know. I mean, it's not ideal for them, fair enough. It's not ideal for them to be bringing in someone at the end of their careers, 36 years of age, like you said. But
would you start him, though?
I would start him, definitely, yeah.
Interesting. Kieran, what do you think about this situation? What would you do if you were the manager?
I mean, if you look at the Ulster squad at the moment, I think they are very light at 15. I know Alan was saying there that you could bring Danielli, but Danielli, I don't think, is a fullback. He's a big lump, and he'll be targeted by the other sides like Clermont and Leicester. I know Treblanche, he's getting on in years, but you know what? He's an intelligent player. He's a safe pair of hands. I think he'll definitely start if he's brought in. And you have to bear in mind that they're probably limited by what they can spend, given that they've already signed Payne, they've already a foe on the books as well. So they had to do a quick deal with limited amount of money. They brought him in, and hopefully he'll do a job.
Yeah.
Well, you see, Dave, my point on it is, if Treblanche starts and Danielli is put in the wing, which in fairness, the lads are right, you know, Danielli is not a natural fullback, he is a wing. But if Gilroy is pushed out of the team, I'll just be so annoyed about that. So
I don't think that will happen, Alan.
You don't think that'll happen?
I think Danielli will be benched.
You think? Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, it's a question of money. I mean, we're going back to the point in the centrally contracted players like the Donegal Catalans of this world that are on the bigger money, therefore they have to start. So if Danielli's on the bigger money, will he start ahead of the others? That's just my thinking on it.
Peter, what do you think, Peter? I want to bring Peter on this. Peter, what do you think, Phonehead, about Gilroy? Do you think he has a chance of becoming, as Alan was saying, he has a chance of becoming an Irish international in perhaps a couple of years? And do you think that, would you be very angry if he was left out of that side? The Ulster side, sorry.
Yeah, if I was an Ulster fan, yeah, I'd say Ulster people would want to see him start. And, but it is a case of Ulster, they have such, I suppose when you look at their Heineken Cup group, it's a case of, will they go with experience or will they go with youth? And I don't know if in that group they can actually start testing players, because they could be destroyed. So I'd say Gilroy is, while he has potential, I just think at the moment Ulster are kind of fighting for their survival kind of thing. So I think this mightn't be the year for players like him.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. And of course, we'll be talking about it on the next edition of Talking Rugby. Lads, just a point on the international scene. Henry's departure from New Zealand. Alan, he'll probably have no problem getting a job. He's done all he can, really. He brought them to the promised land and he delivered when he needed to. He was a good manager, really.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, there were one Tranduke penalty away from Henry being castigated as a failure,
yeah,
and the embodiment of Satan. So, but I suppose no, he is a top coach, and he'll have no problem getting a job if he wants one. It's strange because I've seen a lot of kind of contradictory quotes where he's saying that he wouldn't mind a job with the RFU in England, but he also wants to stay in New Zealand, have a desk job in New Zealand or more hands off role somewhere in his home country. So
yeah,
it's a bit strange. He's obviously just keeping his options open, and I'm sure within 6 months he'll have a job. I had to laugh at the rumor that he was going to Cardiff. I mean, no offense to Cardiff, but he's not going to stoop that low. He is far better than Cardiff.
Well,
I don't see him going to a club rugby role. I think it'll be more consultancy desk/desk job, really.
Yeah, Tig, do you see him going to a desk job? He'll have his chair high and not in a stooped low position, as Alan mentions. But, or do you think he's going to go to England and take on a job?
I don't really care what he does, to be honest. I've never liked Henry. Never liked Graham Henry. There's something about him that just, it really bothers me. It's probably unreasonable, but there's just something about the way he carries himself, something about the way he talks in the media. He stinks of barely concealed arrogance. And I think that George Hook could do as good a job coaching that New Zealand side as he could. Because... Ooh. If not, yeah, because when you have players of that class, it's not a very difficult job. Like, I mean, I'm probably going overboard here, but I've never liked Graham Henry and his dismissive attitude throughout his entire career towards the opposition is it's disappointing. We saw it in the World Cup final. He said nothing about France, even though they put up a magnificent display against New Zealand. And he's been like that throughout his entire career. He doesn't talk about the opposition unless the question's forced on him. And I just don't like him.
Yeah, Peter, you know, Henry, he can be on the negative side. Some people say that he can be a little bit grumpy at times or a bit controlling. Obviously, Tig didn't have too much positive things to say. Would you maybe back Henry to do a good desk job or take a big rugby job? And what do you think about the character of him?
I agree 100% with Tig. I'm not a fan of him. He annoys, even looking at him annoys me. He's got one of those faces that just annoys you.
And, so he's a 70-year-old Leo Cullen.
That's not a bit harsh, Peter.
That's terrible talk, Alan. That's disgusting. Trying to get to dig in at Leinster again. No. He'll go get some desk job, get paid a fortune, and then go back to New Zealand and buy a sheep farm.
Oh dear. Oh well, Tig, you know, you'll probably give him a bit of advice there. Although he probably knows a little bit more about farming, being from New Zealand. Kieran,
I knew you would do this, Dave. I knew you would do this.
Okay, come on. Let's get real, lads. How about Kieran Kontopomi's drop goal howler for Stade Francais against Toulouse? He kicked a drop goal on the last play, thinking Stade were only 3 points down. However, they were actually six. It's maybe a genuine mistake. You know, he firstly put his fists in the air, then he looked at the scoreboard and realized it was a terrible mistake. A genuine mistake, perhaps, but you can't write that stuff, can you?
No, I mean, there's part of me that my heart went out to him, and then part of me thought, what a thicko, you know? The guy is, he's fluent in three languages, he's a fully qualified doctor, but apparently he can't count. You know, you're 6 points behind, and he slots the drop goal, and his reaction was just unbelievable, you know? And then all his teammates, and I can't remember who it was on the line, I don't think it was Cheka, but somebody else who was just gesturing and screaming at him.
The assistant coaches, yeah.
Yeah, it was just bollocking him basically from the sideline, you know, and deservedly so. You know, I'd say he got some stick once he got off that pitch.
Peter, do you not feel a bit sorry for him? I mean, it can happen. It's human.
he should know. Like at the end of the day, how he didn't know. I mean, it's like you feel sorry for him, but it's hilarious. It is hilarious. He should have known. There's no excuses.
Yeah, I want to bring Tig in. When a rugby team lines up for a drop goal, Tig, do they not know what way the guy is playing and they can say, hey, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be in that position, you know, ready to take a long kick at it. They should be really attacking the line more so than, say, one fella standing off and going for a kick. And should the players not have given him the call or at least known, this guy, don't pass it to him?
Well, you can never expect a player to be checking the scoreboard, you know, over his shoulder for a game. They have more important things to do. So I think it was just a case of miscommunication. And it was unfortunate. But I have to say, when it happened, I pointed and I laughed at him. Because I'd say it's probably just a natural reaction to seeing Kontopomi making a mistake. Because I'm a Munster lad, of course. So sorry to the Leinster boys out there who worship Conters, but I was up off my chair laughing at him, to be honest.
Yeah, Alan, I know you're a Munster fan, but as on a final point on this, for a player like that to make a mistake in that game, he's still going to go down as a Heineken Cup winner and a great international player, and that he's not going to be remembered for this, surely.
I hope Sexton does that on Friday. Please, please let it happen. No, on Conters, yeah. No, he is a great player. He's one of the... We saw, particularly in 2007 at 12, he, in the World Cup, he was just priceless outside Hernandez. And yeah, it's really... I don't think... With all the Raj and Sexton stuff, Leinster-Munster thing is just not the same without Conters. It just isn't. It doesn't have the same bitterness and hatred that it had a few years ago. I'm being a bit sentimental here, but I think as soon as Conters left for Toulon, I know he's at Stade now, he left Leinster for Toulon, Munster-Leinster just hasn't been the same ever since, even though Sexton is a interesting character in the rivalry.
There you go, yeah. Okay, fair enough. And while I have you there, Alan, Sean Edwards' departure from the London Wasps, it'll be interesting to see what's next for him. He's been at Wasps, I think, for 10 years, and he's done a pretty good job. Would you think he's going to take a little break now? Or?
Yeah, he's been at Wasps for 10 years. I was actually surprised. I didn't know he was there for that long. And oh, he's done a smashing job with the team, with their defence. I don't know if he's leaving the Wales setup. I'm sure the Welsh Rugby Union will do absolutely everything they can to keep him, because his input into their defence was really key to Wales, because the Welsh defence was really aggressive and disciplined. And I think without Edwards, they definitely wouldn't have had the discipline to get to the semi. Where he'll go now, I mean, he'll have a lot of interested parties in him, in league and in union. I think he will want to go on the Lions tour in 2013. So he'll probably stay in union, and he'll want a top European team to keep himself in the market for the Lions tour. But there'll be no shortage of takers for him.
Yeah, Tig, when I guess Sean Edwards is in charge, your defence is always going to be quite aggressive and disciplined. Would you agree with the credit that Alan has given to Edwards?
Oh yeah, he'll go down as one of the greatest defensive coaches of all time, in my opinion. He really, really perfected the rush defence.
Yeah.
It'll be missed at Wasps, but I mean, we all saw it during the 09 Lions tour, you know. Much of the success of that tour was because of his defensive strategy. If he leaves Wales as well as Wasps, I'd be delighted, you know, because he was the architect of Ireland's demise at the World Cup. His defensive ideas and everything he brings to defence, he's just one of those connoisseurs of defensive play, you could say.
You've got some beautiful phrases, it has to be said there, Tig. Peter, what about the announcement of the Super Rugby squads in New Zealand? The Auckland Blues are looking to have a serious team next year, a lot of people are saying.
Can I take a pass on this one? I have no idea.
Okay. Oh, that's what you get from living in Canada. Alan, what do you reckon? The Auckland Blues, they do have a serious team next year. I think Weepu is going there, as is Manonu. What do you think?
Yeah, they look to have a very serious team next year. As you say, Weepu's going there, and Manonu, who is one of the best centre in the world, going there. And they're going to have Rudy Wolf back from Toulon as well, so... Yeah, they should be okay. I'm looking at the Hurricanes, though. I mean, they're going to have a completely different-looking team from last year, because all of their stars, including Weepu and Nanu, they all left because of the coach, because they all had rows with the coach. And the Hurricanes were a disaster last year because apparently none of them got on with the coach.
Yeah.
The union kept the coach on, so the players said, okay, we're not having any of this. And I suppose the Crusaders... They've lost Sonny Bill. Sonny Bill has gone to the Chiefs. So who will they have at midfield alongside Froon is a big question. And of course, they'll be, like any team, very dependent on Carter, on when he's going to come back, because I'm not sure how serious the injury is. I think it is quite serious, and he might be out for a while. But if he comes back pretty soon, they'll have a good season.
Yeah. Kieran, could this bring about some, you know, positional changes. I mean, we see, you know, it'd probably be interesting to see if Weepu plays at 9 or 10 as their normal out half or that. I mean, there's probably going to be a few players that might not be necessarily happy with new positions, but will have to adjust.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting. Stephen Brett, the Blues' normal out half for the last year, I think he's gone to one of the Japanese sides now. So Weepu's been brought in there, and I think we could definitely see him playing 10 just inside Nanu, and I think we'll see him tried there a lot more. So Pat Lam is probably going to try something like that, and he's got a few replacements to make it across his back line, but he signed very, very cleverly. You know, he's picked up players that are at least the equal of the players that are left, if not better. So he's going to have a really, really strong back line there. I'd also be very intrigued to see how the Highlanders work out. I know they've picked up a few very, very good players from the fallout at the Hurricanes, so they're going to be a lot stronger this season. I can't see where the Hurricanes are going to go from here. Like, they're really going to struggle at this stage. I think it was 7 All Blacks they lost in the off season, which hasn't been replaced whatsoever. So all in all, the status of New Zealand rugby, I think we're still looking at the Crusaders and the Blues. Maybe the Blues to actually usurp the Crusaders this season.
Wow, we'll hold you to that one, Ciarán. We'll wait and see what happens. I want to go back to Peter here now, and don't panic, Peter. I'm going to hit you with something completely different. I want to talk about Sapulu. We mentioned him at the World Cup. This seems like the Samoan is at it again. He had a go at young Owen Farrell of Saracens after Gloucestershire's game last weekend. He tweeted, we all know him about his tweeting ability, and get this right. To young rugby players, do not be arrogant. If you want to be tough on the field, make sure you back it up off it. Love it when players talk big on the field in front of the camera. I like to see if they still talk big off the field when there's no cameras around. Raised in New Zealand and Samoa, I've never heard that shh before, ever. Good luck, bro, when you tour around my parts. What goes on the pitch stays on the pitch. Don't use the pitch to showcase your fake toughness, you. Peter, he sounds like he's contradicting himself with everything he says. It's a little bit bizarre. What do you think about this guy?
I don't know. I think he's completely mad. He's a complete lunatic. But he seems to, he's after getting a fan club on Twitter, so he's going to keep feeding everybody. So I expect more, but yeah, he's mad in the head.
Yeah, Alan, would you be you weren't too much of a fan of him during the World Cup. Has this new revelation maybe eased your liking of him? Do you like him a little bit better now? Does he make any sense?
Well, I think we have an idea for a show sponsor there, Dave. I think you should look into that. You know, Talking Rugby sponsored by Sapulu's Twitter rants or something like that. this guy, wow, what can you say? I mean, he needs serious anger management lessons, just, you know, ties out of the pram, every sort of metaphor, euphemism, simile of being angry you could associate with this guy. He's a complete loony.
Yeah.
I mean, what else can you say?
Tig, is it a case that Sapulu, he might not be necessarily just frustrated on the rugby pitch. He could be frustrated in other areas of his life, that he's bringing this anger to a Twitter. And, of course, some of the tweets that he makes, you know, you talk big off the field, or you talk big in front of the camera, and, you know, when in a match and all, when I guess there's a certain protection on players, but he's talking quite big on Twitter.
I think he's fantastic, to be honest with you. He kind of brings me back to the amateur era when players used to talk shite about each other all the time, and rugby is kind of, It's a gentleman's game, you know. It's at times, and to have such an incendiary entity in the game, who, fair enough, he's not, you know, at the top of his level, and he's not a Brian O'Driscoll, he's not blah 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 blah, so and so. But to have someone like that in the game, I think it's wonderful. I think it's a great bit of pantomime, and he's crazy. Like, that's not beating around the bush. He's off his head. He's just, I mean, he's clearly, I'd say there's some extent of kind of doing it just for the sake of doing it, just because it gets him more publicity more than anything. But I think some of the stuff he says, while being crazy and irrelevant, it's a talking point. It's based on his craziness, but I like it. I think it's enjoyable.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, Ciarán, you know, hopefully he's not listening to our show, because he'll be accusing us of talking big behind the microphones and not actually, you know, talking big behind the scenes when it matters. And to be honest, I wouldn't like to talk big against him, but is there, there's no place for this in modern rugby. What do you think?
I wouldn't say that. You know, as Tig was saying, it's a bit of pantomime. You know, it's kind of entertainment. Obviously, he's going to get his knuckles wrapped yet again for speaking out of turn. But from a fan's perspective, you know, I think it's fantastic just to watch this car crash in motion, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but Ciarán, in fairness, it's exciting and all, but should action be taken? I mean,
action will be taken. It should be taken. It will be taken. He's making a threat against another player online, and it's out of order, obviously, but, you know, there will be something done. I'm sure the authority, the RFU, will take action. But, you know, for the neutral fan, it's interesting to watch just from that perspective.
Yeah, okay, well, it'll be exciting. And that brings, I suppose, this week's podcast to an end. Just a quick point, Paddy Power are doing a bet of the week for Leinster to win by less than 4 points. It's actually 10 to 11 odds. They'll need to win by 5, which a lot of people says they'll actually do quite easily. Would you, Peter, you're a betting man. Would you give that a bit of a hurl?
Oh, God, I've already remortgaged the house and it's on it. Definitely. Go for it.
Unbelievable. What about yourself, Alan? I know you've been pessimistic, but you probably never bet against Munster.
No, I disagree completely with betting against your own team. I have a few quid on Munster now at 6-4, so... I might pay for a few beers after the game.
Ah, sure. I hear yous are all having a little get together before the game, so I hope that goes well, and I hope there's a little bit of more civilized chatting than there is on talking rugby, I can sure. Well, listen, Peter in Canada, Ciarán in Dublin, Alan in Limerick, and Tig in Kerry, thanks a million for joining us on the program, and may the better team win.
We will.
Absolutely. We will.
Yeah, we definitely will.
You're listening to The World's Talking with Dave O'Grady. Don't forget, if you have a story, an internet forum, a discussion you want to have, email theworldstalking@gmail.com. That's theworldstalking@gmail.com. Don't forget to click like on Facebook, like on Twitter, like on everything, and we'll chat to you then.